All right, we're back on the record just after our mid-morning break on Appeal SDD 24-001. It's 11:22. I think we were heading to cross-examination. Mr. Cuddy.
Good morning, Mr. Cuddy. One of the things I want to talk about is the pictures that you provided on primarily on 59th as it relates to the congestion where we have, you know, people parking in every direction, etc. Those pictures are all during pickup and drop off, correct?
I don't know that they all are, no, but some are.
Okay, the ones where you're seeing cars parked on 59th.
On the east side of 59th, jump up, jump the curb, facing each other. Those, yes. Well, I think they're wrong. Yes. That happens a lot of times of the day, like when the beaches were parallel, it'll happen then too. But most oftentimes it happens during school pickup and drop.
Right. But when beaches are crowded, typically, if you see that illegal parking, we're talking weekends or something like that.
Usually. But now, sometimes.
In some evenings. Okay. There were other pictures while we were just talking about the pictures of Charlestown and Orleans and Lander and Admiral, and they're very steep and hilly.
Correct.
Are any of those streets within the 800-foot parking study area, or are they well outside of that?
The walking area that the district proposes for the families and kids.
The 1 mile walking area, but not the 800-foot study area.
No.
Okay.
Well, no, some of them are. No, yes, absolutely some of them are. Yes. But the ones closest to the school. Yes, okay. Some of them are.
Okay. Some of them are. The Charlestown is much further south, correct?
Charlestown is the top street. And it is really our kind of walking area. But the 59th, 57th, Hillcrest, the lower part of the Lander Steep Hill, those should all be within about 800 feet of the school.
Okay. Lander and Admiral, you say it's within 800 feet.
Lander and Admiral, 59th, 57th, where the guy was killed in the car accident. And actually, if you turn left on, right across the street from Admiral, if you turn east, there's a very steep hill there, too. That's clearly within the 800 feet area. And Hillcrest, and I think it's Volcano, too.
Okay.
And my understanding is that the 800 feet is linear by sidewalk, not parallel, correct? So I'm thinking of it that way. If it was only going to be a lot further.
Linear by sidewalk?
Yeah, I think that's how they measure. But I think the Heffron report said that.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just looking at my notes and maps here as well. Okay.
Even if you park there, you still have to walk down the steep hill. So that's part of my point.
Sure. As we look at the revised site design, and you said you want to have a school here, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I want to go ahead and share. This is an excerpt from Exhibit 4, page 21. It's a district Exhibit 4. Did you hear Ms. Hutchinson's discussion of ground floor priorities?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Hutchinson has explained how this is a small site, correct?
A small
site. The land area of
the
site.
The lot. Yes.
Did you hear her discuss how there was really nothing else they could remove from the ground floor.
I don't agree with that at all. That's why I'm here.
What would you remove then?
Smaller. Well, what school should be smaller? You should start over and have a smaller school. Where those trees are should be where the school buses park and give the building back and have a smaller school so you're not stuck with trying to stick a giant building on a small lot. I agree with anything she said about that. If you're going to be wedded to one concept of a larger school, sure you have to do those things, but that's a mistake. That's fine.
So you wouldn't mind a 70, 80 foot tall school building? Is that what
Or maybe it doesn't have to have 600 kids in it. It could have 300 kids.
What evidence is there that there are 600 children going to be in the school?
Well, 600 people. If you count faculty and preschoolers and students, you're going to be over 600.
Okay. But the students aren't driving, right? We're just talking about faculty?
Students are driving. 57% of students are driven by the
parents. Are they parking?
What?
Are they parking all day?
They park in for sometimes, usually 15, 20 minutes.
Okay. So we're talking about 15, 20 minutes twice a day in the neighborhood, correct?
Yeah, hundreds of cars.
Hundreds of cars, okay. So you say we should have a bus loop in the steep slope. Have you ever designed a bus loop?
I didn't say a bus. I didn't say that at all.
Like buses should be in our steep slope area, correct?
I did not say that at all. You misrepresented my testimony.
Would you like to repeat what you said in terms of the buses?
Yeah, see where the trees are?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's 59th. If this is like Schmitz Park, there would be a cutout there where the buses can get off 59th. And 59th could mean then a better flow for travel, better sight lines for kids crossing the street, and less congestion.
But that's not an issue here today, correct?
To me, it is. What should have happened? It should have started with traffic.
But that's not an issue here, correct?
That's what happened. Because it always a mistake.
Okay. So let's say we have a bus drop off. So you're just talking about pull out, not bus.
Yes. Oh yeah. Pull out. Or what? A lane, the additional lane where the sidewalk is now for buses to get out of the street, push the building back a few feet. That's what I think should happen.
Okay.
No brand. I mean, I don't worry. Right.
Do you agree that kindergarten classrooms should be on the first floor?
I don't. I mean, it makes sense to me, but I don't have any.
Okay.
Expertise.
Okay. Do you think sub-administration should have eyes on the street and be on the first floor, too?
It's a requirement, supposedly, or a preference in the safe traffic for school kids, that the principal's office be where they can view the traffic of kids coming in and out of the school. So, sure, we do. I think that's reasonable, rational.
And do you agree that preschool should be on the ground floor as well?
If you have one, I think it's a kind of unrealistic to think you could fit one in a small site. And okay. There's 3 or 4 others in the area.
Okay, so you don't believe preschool is necessary to meet the educational need here?
No. I think it's a great thing. It's wonderful. It just can't even fit it in. In this constricted site, it's unfortunately probably not going to accommodate, particularly when you consider what preschool needs for safety, which is nearby parking for the kids and their families. I don't think it's necessarily something that can work here.
Okay, so you don't think it's needed at this site?
No. Well, I don't think it can fit. You know, it'd be nice to have, sure. But we're not against it at all. I mean, it's a great idea. If we had 4 acres or something, sure. We have 2 of them. But given the compromises that have to be made, given the restricted land and the safety necessities for those little kids and their families and their brothers and sisters, moms and dads, and nearby parking needs, there aren't any nearby parking made available for the number of years. So I think it's it won't fit.
So
it's not a good idea, John. Just won't fit the site.
It fits here on the site, correct? You just want parking instead of preschool.
Well, there's not a. The access is through the same area where it's constricted access, across this difficult street. You're going to have to cross two dangerous crosswalks where traffic's already routed over, and there's going to be more traffic routed a little later. So, yeah, I don't think it's a good idea.
Okay. And are you familiar with the preschool? You sound like you were at least partially familiar with the preschools in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Are any of those preschools that serve children with developmental needs?
Yeah, I think so. This one of them.
Okay. Ms. Hall testified that she didn't believe that there were.
I think the one did have kids, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
They have no impact, right?
Yeah. A couple of spots, right?
10.
Okay. Does every preschool have parking?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Except the co-op preschool.
Except the co-op preschool.
But they have tons of street parking. There's no shortage in that neighborhood.
Okay. So, do your view show that preschool and put more parking here? Is that accurate?
No, that's not my view. If you had a much smaller school, necessarily, you wouldn't have to. You had a smaller footprint of the school. You know, in a school of 3,400 kids, if you wanted to make part of this preschool and keep some parking for them, I think that would work fine.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the capacity in the 300 to 400 school that you want. You just agreed that kindergarten should be there on the first floor, administration should be there on the first floor. How much more room could you get on this site on the ground floor? I'm talking ground floor. What room could you get?
Current design. And again, I think it's a beautiful building and a great design. But the current design, it seems like sort of this one-size-fits-all thing. It's got this giant atrium that takes up two stories, which is real beautiful, but it's not really taking the realities of the site. So I think it eliminates maybe a third or something of both floors. So you can get a lot more, you know, in a more traditional school design. Again, I think it's beautiful, don't get me wrong, but you could get a lot more out of that. Get more use out of the space than having half of the third of the first floor be an atrium. Right? I'm guessing it's a third. It'll look like it's a two-story atrium.
Is it important in the design of a school to probably provide natural light?
Sure.
Okay. All right. I'm going to stop sharing this. Ever designed a school?
Of course not.
Have you ever implemented the educational specifications of a school?
Of course not.
You had mentioned that the capacity of the school is doubling. Do you know what the capacity of the former school was?
Probably about 400. I didn't say capacity. I said, if I did, I meant number of students.
The number of students.
Not student capacity. With portable, I know it around 400 at one time, maybe 20 years ago. Lately, it's been 3-ish.
Okay. Mr. Skeffington testified it was 410 9 years ago. Does that sound about right?
Okay. I have no knowledge about the actual numbers.
Okay. So was parking significantly worse 9 years ago than it is today?
It was about the same.
Okay.
That's one of my problems. Nobody's taken us seriously for years. And when the school's going to rebuild, the whole neighborhood's like, great, they're trying to deal with this difficult problem. And it should have been the first issue, not one that's not dealt with at all, or denied.
For the day-to-day parking outside of the windows, pick up and drop off, we've heard testimony both from Mr. Kirschman and also some of the appellant's witnesses that after pick up and drop off, it does calm down. Is that something that has been your experience as well?
Of course. Yeah. The parents aren't trying to find parking. Sure. It's a little easier.
Okay.
It depends on the availability of parking. It varies on what else is going on that day in the neighborhood. It's a nice day. It's, those parking spaces are going to be taken up quickly by folks coming to the parks and the beach. They have volleyball tournaments sometimes, you know, during the day. Usually weekends, but not always. But things, activities like that.
Volleyball tournaments are typically on the weekends.
Usually, but sometimes afternoons.
And the beach volleyball tournaments are on Alki Beach, correct? Further to the east, typically?
A little, but they all park. There's no parking really east, very little parking available east of the playground, east of 59. There's almost no parking, street parking available. So everybody who comes to Alki and tries to park, if you can't park on Alki, how to do for the beach, they're going to be parking west of 59 in the same area that the parents and teachers must try to find parking.
Do you find a lot of beach demand at 7 in the morning on school days?
No, it's usually after that. You know, by the time the parents leave, people start showing up. It's a nice day.
By the time the parents leave, okay.
And in the afternoon, it's usually worse.
Sorry, I'll look at my notes. I want to talk about just neighborhood streets. And so 59th is a standard 25-foot neighborhood street, correct? Generally, those neighborhood streets, and I think Mr. McBride testified to this, have parking on both sides, correct?
All except 59, 58, Stevens to the east of the school, and Lander going up the hill, the steep Lander Hill from Teague up. Teague, no parking there. East of Lander, there's no parking on that street, whatever it's called, I don't even know. But the rest of them have parking on both sides. But they're not all 25. Some of them are 22. Stevens East of the school is 22 feet, and 58th is 22 feet, and it narrows to about 17. Teague is narrow like that, too. And the other streets are probably, they're kind of like, they look like old trails that are made in the streets, and not very wide. Okay. Some of them are quite a bit smaller.
Right. But I'm asking more about, thank you for that, on the streets around the area, asking more of a general question of the, in the city of Seattle, we have a lot of 25-foot neighborhood streets. I don't know how familiar you are outside of. Okay. If you are parking on a 25-foot neighborhood street and there are cars on both sides, is it a two-way street anymore?
No.
And that's pretty standard condition, correct? In the city of Seattle? Okay.
I just know my neighborhood.
You just know your neighborhood. Okay. And did you hear Mr. McBrien discuss a 25-foot street near Leschi with parking on both sides right next to the school?
I don't remember that.
Okay. You mentioned your experiences with pick up and drop off at Schmitz Elementary. How long ago was that?
15 years.
15 years ago. Did you hear Mr. Kirschman's testimony regarding his difficulty finding parking at Schmitz Park, and it was harder to find parking there than it is at Alki?
Yeah, I didn't believe any of that. I don't think he was right. He's only lived there 2 years, and he didn't spend any time at Alki. Besides, he's a block away. You can walk there. I don't think he really has much experience. His only experience in parking is at Schmitz, so it might seem difficult to him, but it's not anywhere close to as difficult as Alki.
Okay, but... You mentioned that it's easier to park at Schmitz, and he has experience parking at Schmitz, right?
Yeah, well, it hasn't changed. The school is exactly the same size almost as when my kids went there. The parking arrangements are quite similar, and there's no way it can be as difficult as our.
And is that based on a parking study?
It's based on my personal experience of a parent at Schmitz going for 8 years there and living in Alki for 30 years and watching both.
15 years ago, right?
Yeah, it hasn't changed.
The area around Schmitz Park has not changed
exactly
at all?
Exactly the same.
Okay. And the population hasn't changed at all?
No, not a bit.
Okay.
There's no There's nothing but single family homes.
Okay, so Mr. Kirschman is not correct when he says it's hard to find parking in Schmitz Park.
He may think it's hard. I believe that's how he feels. I don't think he's correct that it's more difficult or even close to as difficult as Zucker. He may think that, but I don't think that's accurate.
Did you have to park and pick up and drop off at Alki?
No, but I see people doing it every day for 30 years.
On 59th, you see that, right?
Well, I park on 60th. Stevens, I don't.
Do you park during pickup and drop off?
So I have sometimes. I try not to. Well, I can't get to my house during pickup and drop off time, so I don't even try.
You had mentioned that the Hebron, updated Hebron study had shown a decreased supply of parking stalls. Did you hear him note that was a temporary decrease for construction that will come back?
We haven't heard that at all. I don't think that's true. There's only a few construction workers there, and they all park on site. The other part that's limited is the area where the buses used to park, which was illegal to park for cars anyway. I don't think that is accurate.
So you don't believe that the supply had been reduced by construction?
No. No, the workers park on site there.
Okay. Can you imagine that there's possibly signs that had blocked off spots for parking that were for construction? Maybe they don't park there?
No, that's not true. You have the same sites. The park that's unavailable parking for construction has always been unavailable to parking because it's the bus zone and the limited current drop zone. But there's never any trucks or cars there now during construction. And so, no, I don't think the construction's impacted the hurricane at all. There's very few workers that show up, and they all park on the site, the construction site, and pickups inside. I haven't seen one of them. You don't see them walking around in their cars at all. I don't think that's true. I mean, maybe I thought it was true, don't get me wrong. It's reasonable to think that, but that's not happening.
Right. But he's just counting supply, so he actually reduced it, the supply.
Yeah, I think it's temporary, is what I'm saying. I don't think it has anything to do with the construction.
Oh, you think the supply has just gone down?
Probably, because there's more condos being built all the time. People parking on the street.
But supply is different than utilization, right? Supply is just the number of parking, or the number of...
Available slots,
yeah. Right?
And the second Hebron study said it had decreased some since the first one in 21,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense to me because the neighborhood's grown. There's more townhouses and condos. I don't think it has anything to do with the construction of Alki.
Okay. So you think the townhomes and condos are removing stalls on site?
Absolutely. They never allow enough parking for the people who live there. And the parking's...
We're talking supply, though. Supply is before you have cars. So imagine it's a blank slate and there's nothing there.
You mean
the actual physical space of working?
There are no cars.
Mr. Brent, yes.
When you say supply, I was interpreting that to mean available parking spaces because of a survey.
That's utilization. So we have supply and demand, right? So supply is the amount
of. All the cars in the streets, the supply. No, I don't think it's changed at all.
Okay, that's what Mr. McBride was talking about in terms of the supply reducing.
Yeah.
Because of construction closing.
Well, it was only a few cars. The study said it was reduced. I don't believe that's. If it's changed, I don't know about that.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to clarify that. There was some discussion of the SDAC committee. You weren't part of the SDAC committee,
no.
Correct? Okay. So you weren't at the meetings. You just
no.
Made comments,
yes,
and summaries, but not the
yes.
Actual conversations.
Okay. Well, some of them are repeated in the minutes.
Okay. So the minutes, but not the actual back-and-forth conversation.
Meetings.
Okay. And there was some discussion of the Hebron parking studies and the timing of the parking counts starting at 7:30. When do teachers arrive?
I suppose the principal said 7:25 or something like that.
So
it changed gears, but it went from a 9 o'clock start to a 7:55 start. So it's very simple.
Okay. And we're talking about a parking lot that's probably going to be for teachers, correct?
That's what the other witness said.
So when we're looking at parking on street, should we look at when the teachers should be able to get there, which is before 7:30?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
And you had some discussion with the school traffic safety committee. Did they recommend that this project move forward and that they didn't have any concerns?
Yeah, based on no disclosure whatsoever by the Seattle School District to them about what the problems were, based on what appeared to be a planted question in the meeting, if what they could do, how much it costs, and then later a request by a Seattle School District who appeared to be a Seattle School District employee to the committee that they would please send a letter in support of a project they knew absolutely nothing about because nobody told them about it. That's what I saw on the video clip.
Did you hear the Traffic Safety Committee ask how they could help before that request for a letter came up?
Yeah.
Okay. That's
how can I help about something I know nothing about because nobody told them?
Are you sure they don't know anything about it?
Yeah, because, yeah, the minutes. There's only two meetings, April of 22 and February of this year. There's not one indication in any detail about the problems that this proposed project creates, traffic-wise and parking-wise, was shared with them at all. In detail, you know, or that there was a significant problem. Anything different than any other school would face. And we all know it is different.
Okay, and when you're talking different, we're talking pick-up and drop-off, right? That's your concern, is pick-up and drop-off.
My concern is safety for the kids and
okay.
families. And pick-up and drop-off is the worst traffic, public, pedestrian, bike safety situation that happens ever at Alcott.
Have you witnessed a lot of pickup and drop off in the city of Seattle to make that conclusion?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Can you give me an example?
Well, driving in town, sometimes I'll be in a place where there's a school drop off and pickup. I got caught on Capitol Hill about a month ago. My kids went to high school in West Seattle. I was part of that. Madison Middle School, part of that. I've occasionally been caught in traffic in other elementary schools. There's one over by Green Lake I get caught in once in a while trying to work my five over to I can't think of the name of the school, but I often get caught in that one. And there are far more structure and seeming to have better traffic flow than any of them possible in our country. The ones I've been around. I've been all.
You just talked about being orderly and structured. Would a plan to go one way provide more order and structure?
No, not in Alcott. In an ordinary neighborhood, sure, I think it would, but not in Alcott. There's too many people parked over the place. Folks park on all those streets, particularly 60th and 59, that are not even neighborhood residents. That's why I can't park in front of my house, because it's usually full of people playing pickleball, or going to the beach, or the art studio down at the beach house, or the old bath house, the restaurants or something. They come out, they don't know that they're not supposed to be there. They're not part of the school. They didn't get the memo, right? So they're a bigger problem than me. So when they pull out going the wrong direction, they're going to be against this one-way traffic flow. It's not going to work.
Okay. So... And does the parking lot create that problem?
No, my designation would create that. The TMP suggests would. The parking lot, the absence of a parking lot just throws more teachers onto the streets, takes up more parking spaces, makes it more difficult for the parents and everybody else to find parking in the area. And the consequences are different. When you get these head-on car-to-car on any of these streets, they have one of them has to give way and back up because cars are lined on both sides of the streets, and they end up backing through the intersection. And it happens on Stevens, it happens on 59, it happens on 60th already. So, again, it just takes one car or one, you know, FedEx truck, delivery truck, something like that to... Go in there, go, oh no, what happened? And then what do? They can't back up because there's cars behind them, you know, so the one that's against one with the fewest cars behind them is the one who has to give way. And typically what happens is they have to back over an intersection. And all those intersections are where kids are going to school or to the park, kids and families. And it's not just the school kids. And that's, I've seen it happen a lot of times. And it's terrifying. It's only a matter of time that someone gets hurt. So that's why the answer is trying with a smaller school is probably doable, but a bigger one, it's just, I shudder to think how it's impossible to try and make it better.
So this is about the capacity for you, not the size of the parking lot.
Capacity of the parking lot?
But the capacity of the school. This is about the capacity of the school for you.
Well, all of it. I don't know. If you want to go 60 stories and make a big parking lot, maybe that would work. I don't know. I'm not really exaggerating to make a point, but I don't have. My concern is if it could be made safe, I would have a problem with the school at the proposed size, but I don't believe it's possible to. And part of that reason is a safe school needs some on-site parking. And especially at Alki, where the absence of that throws so many staff people onto the streets, reduces permanent parking, just adds to congestion. And it's dangerous congestion. It's not just inconvenient congestion.
You just said a safe school needs on-site parking. Is that what the School Transportation Safety Committee recommendations say?
Well, no, it doesn't, but a lot of schools have that. The recent ones built in West Seattle, Arbor Heights, Genesee, they have on-site parking for at least some people who use, 88 people, kids, special needs kids.
Right. But the Traffic Safety Committee says don't do it, right? So they have studied this, correct?
I think they say it shouldn't be a preference.
Mm-hmm.
Cars should not be a preference.
Okay.
You know, over... So I don't think they say don't do it. You should try to guarantee parking on site for the parents. But a lot of schools do that. It makes sense to do that. You know, Schmitz does that, or Heights does it. Genesee, Arbor Heights and Genesee in West Seattle have been built. The most recent new schools are really nice. They have a lot of parking.
Yeah.
Doing more than answering questions.
No, that's fine. You were talking about the sidewalks and the like. Do you see people walking around your neighborhood just during the day?
Sure.
People with strollers?
Some. They're careful where they go.
Okay. People with kids?
Of course.
Okay.
But there's usually not, you know, they're usually not the jumbled up traffic that you see. It's student driving. Pickup time.
Have you ever heard with some of the, and Mr. McBride said this as well, we have, you have cars parked on both sides and you have cars moving slowly, it's actually a pretty safe condition. Do you disagree with that?
I do disagree.
Okay.
When, for, you know, if they're all going the same direction and there was adequate space in the middle for two lanes, like 61st, I think that's okay. And people, white streets where there's silence. When you get all these cars jumbled up, people open doors into the single lane between the two parked cars. You know, you can't even get a car through with doors open or kids getting out. I don't agree that it's safer than somebody going 60 miles an hour like it used to be. But the slow traffic, with the congestion, what you have is tons of traffic going over the same crosswalks where the kids and parents use now. Stevens, 59th T intersection, that's this giant funnel, and everyone has to go through there to get to the school or the park. And so all the students and families have to do that. And the amount of traffic going through there. The two school buses, 2.5 parked there, you can't even see very well. So everybody's just inching through. But that doesn't mean they're not going to hit somebody. There's so many people, and we can put hundreds of more kids. It's their parents and people who bring them to school. There's hundreds of extra people under the current proposal are going to be using those same sidewalks with no reasonable possibility of improving the traffic problem. In fact, the TMP...
Thinking about beyond that,
yeah.
The question.
So you keep seeing hundreds of new students. You said that 9 years ago, the traffic was about the same, and it was at 410, right?
The parking issue was about the same.
Okay. So that's not hundreds. That's if it's a completely full school, including a full preschool, not developmental, because that would only be 10 apiece. We're talking about 120, 130,
if I can do my math, right? I mean, hundreds more than now. You got a school of 270 right now, and you're going to have a school of 542. That's what? 200 some more kids, and parents and brothers and sisters. This isn't just one student. These are family units. And that's another thing you said. A car, why do I have their family unit of transportation?
Sure. So we are, I think we're basically done here. Let me just pick up that. I think that is all the questions I have. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Ms. Clinton?
Just a little bit. So there was some discussion about the revised site design and first floor priorities and things like that. And I believe so there was discussion of, this was district exhibit 4 at page 21. Pull it up. A lot of documents. Okay, and I will go ahead and share my screen. This is District Exhibit 4 at PDF 21. Do you recall that discussion?
You mean on Cross? On Cross?
Yes. I was asking you about first floor priorities and things like that.
Yeah.
And there's been, a fair amount of discussion about kind of how more kids will also result in more cars, right?
It cannot have a different result.
Right.
Given the
And so in this case, on this first floor, you acknowledge that, yes, kindergarten, it makes sense to have it on the first floor. Do you recall that?
Well, I don't really know, but I understand from the other witnesses it does prefer.
Right.
Makes
but,
sense to me.
So if the school was maybe half the size, would it result in probably half the number of kindergarten classrooms the school would need?
Sure. Fewer kids. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. It looks like approximately 4 kindergarten classrooms. It could be 2 if it were a smaller school, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And also there's discussion about admin. There are 2 separate admin spots on this design, correct? Right? So.
Well, I think it's 1 on each floor, somebody said.
1 on each floor, but then also just even on this ground floor, there are 2 in addition to the 1 on each floor.
Yeah,
right?
I do see them.
Okay. So potentially, and then also if it were a smaller school, maybe smaller preschool, it could also result in fewer preschool classrooms, right?
Yeah.
And less administration.
No, but I understand fewer kids, you don't need as much administration.
And if it's a smaller school, it likely wouldn't need as much of the commons area, right?
Right. Well, now they have a cafeteria that serves their day as a commons area and a stage, just like Schmitz Park.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, don't get me wrong, I think it's wonderful, but if you're trying to get the biggest bang for the buck on a small site, do you really want to use a 2-story atrium for 30 or the first 2 floors?
Okay.
Seems like that's a nice thing to have, but not available in a lot of sites.
Right. But in general, a smaller size school could result in a reduction, a smaller size school.
Sure.
Correct. Okay.
and fewer
smaller footprint.
Fewer classrooms, of course.
Which would result in more parking, right?
Could. It'd free it up.
Right.
Space, at least theoretically.
Right.
I'm no design expert, but it seems it did before. Mm-hmm. There was tons of parking.
Right, but there wasn't a preschool there, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a preschool next door at the community center.
Right. Okay. There was some discussion about this is going to be a preschool with children with developmental needs. You recall that?
Yeah.
Would that mean that it's all more important for those kids and those parents to have access to safe, close parking?
I think so. Okay. And outside of a parking lot, which may not be, there really isn't any in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's all has to cross that congested group crosswalks.
Right. And then there's discussion about how, you know, a number of years ago, the school enrollment was up to, you know, approximately 410 9 years ago. Do you recall that?
Yeah, with the portable.
With the portable, okay. So that was over capacity of the existing school,
yeah.
Correct? And, but also there's been a steady decline in enrollment since that time, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And
both Akron and the district wide.
And you mentioned that the parking was maybe similar around that time. Is it possible that?
No, I have to correct you.
Oh,
district wide hasn't had a steady decline in enrollment except for the last few years, but Akron's.
Steadily declining.
For a while longer.
Right. But so I want to reference there was a discussion about how you said that parking, you know, the parking situation has always been bad, and it was roughly the same when the capacity was 410 as it was when it was 270. Do you recall that? You said it was roughly the same.
Well, yeah, I mean, right. What I mean is people are still jumbled up across the street. I can't say it's the same, but the same behavior. They're really parked on the east side of 59, parking in alleys, parking in people's driveways, just doing the best they can.
Mm-hmm.
And really, we don't complain that much because mm-hmm. the parents are victims of this, too.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be fixed, not made worse.
Right. And do you think maybe one of the reasons it might be similar is maybe even though there are fewer students, more parents are driving, so you're seeing around the same number of cars?
That couldn't be. In fact, we had somebody testify that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That they're after COVID, more parents are driving.
Right.
So it may explain why it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Okay. There was a discussion a little bit about standard street size and parking on both sides, and how Leschi was an example of parking where there were streets that were parking on both sides. Do you recall that?
Yeah,
okay.
And cross. I didn't remember Mr. McBride saying that, but I do remember
mm-hmm.
Council for the school district.
Okay. And so I was just looking on Google Earth to take a look at this school, and...
You mean Leschi?
Yeah, at Leschi. Are you familiar with the school at all?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, where is it?
That's a great question. I can...
To Madrona?
Zoom out. It's like it's Leschi?
Probably on top. I know that neighborhood has a normal street grid throughout most of the neighborhood.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay. So there are more. I wonder if I could just pull this up. If this would be like, impeachment, but do you know that there is? Do you know if there's a large parking lot at Leschi?
I don't know.
Okay. Would you be surprised?
Objection. He's already said he's not familiar with anything related to Leschi.
Okay.
I think where you're getting at is Alki comparable to any other school that they brought up? And the answer is no. I've looked at the aerial diagrams from that, and every one of them is surrounded by at least three streets and sometimes four.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a four-street grid, which you have at each corner are basically 16 streets that spider out where people can park. And if you get a normal residential neighborhood where people often have single family homes or off-street parking, there's going to be parking there. It won't be as constricted, even if there is parking on both sides of the street. In fact, great, there's more parking available. But in Alki, There's only parking on 59 in the west, really. It's available, and it's parents can compete with that for everybody else, residents, visitors, whatever, and it's not comparable.
Okay. So were more spots available for teachers, or would more spots, parking spots for teachers make more spots available for parents and students?
You mean off-street parking for teachers?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Every teacher that's not parking on the streets opens up a spot for everybody else, including parents.
And the larger the capacity of the school, more teachers, more students, more cars, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why we want a smaller school.
Mm-hmm. Would it better fit the character of the surrounding area and the available parking, traffic, and circulation in your community?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't have any against large school. I can fit for it, but then everyone can't handle it.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Okay. Okay.
Mr. Cuddy, thank you for your testimony this morning.
Sorry, it's my time for sure.
That's all right.
If I write an autobiography, it'll be good, but I digress.
Authors often do. So, Ms. Clinton, Mr. Cuddy was your last witness, is that correct? Okay. Should we go to lunch first, I guess, and then we'll turn to your witnesses. And I know there were some scheduling issues, but
I think everyone's good in the afternoon.
Okay.
All right. It was morning that we had some difficulty.
Okay. Yeah.
We have one witness has had some difficulty. I think she has 2 hours, right?
Yeah. 2:30 to 4:30.
So she's free 2:30 to 4:30. So we can fit it in within that time frame.
Okay. All right. Anything else we need to address before we adjourn to lunch?
I guess one question I have just from a timing standpoint, we have Ms. Guillory, obviously that will, she's still here, provide some testimony, I presume. Are the appellants planning to have rebuttal witnesses as well? Like, I guess, are we planning to finish today?
I am planning on having at least one rebuttal witness so far, but I don't know if there might be more than that. I think it's unlikely, but we do.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. That's helpful.
Okay. All right. It's 12:10, so we'll reconvene at 1:10.